Well, please turn your Bibles to the book of Jude, at the end of the New Testament, and the little epistle of Jude, just that one chapter. The verse 1 says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And then verse 20 of the same epistle, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, and looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Amen. May God bless his word. I want to leave with you the words in the verse number 20. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Let's pray together again and just ask the Lord for his help once more. Eternal God and our Father in heaven, humbly and reverently once more we come before thy word. We thank you for this blessed time of corporate worship and fellowship together in the things of God. We thank you for sisters who know thee and love thee. We pray, O Lord, that you'd bless their hearts and encourage their souls. We thank you, Lord, for the word that we've already heard, and bless it to our hearts again. And as we would again consider these matters once more, we pray that you'd just help us to an attentive mind, even, O Lord, overcome any physical weariness, but enable us to apply ourselves unto the ministry of the word. Encourage us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well, I think the two words that I wanted you to take home with you from this conference this morning are the two words, doctrinal maturity. I was glad that our brother mentioned that term in his message. The theme is Women of Truth. And we all know, at least I trust you know, and you've been reminded this morning, that doctrinal maturity is vital for all believers. It is not something just for pastors or for men. It is vital for all of God's children, for all who know Christ, that they grow and they mature doctrinally. It is not true that doctrine divides. Doctrine unifies. Doctrine stabilizes. Doctrine strengthens. Those things that our brother mentioned this morning. And that is true for all the saints. Jude does not specify men or women, as he encourages the saints to all, in verse number 3, to contend earnestly for the faith. And the faith there clearly is not describing our subjective trusting in Christ, as important that is, but rather is describing the body of doctrine that has been committed by the Spirit to the church. It is that body of truth called the faith, that body that was delivered unto the saints once and for all. I think it is true often that women's devotional books tend towards the experiential. How you feel about your Christian faith, how you feel about others. There certainly can be a tendency towards sentimentalism in some of that literature. I personally think that is terribly patronizing. Patronizing to your intellectual abilities and patronizing to your own personal need to grow in faith. Doctrinal maturity gives great personal stability from error, and in times of personal crisis, your feet are firmly planted upon the truth of God. It promotes unity. It encourages accurate evangelism of children and of others. It enables younger women to be taught soundly by older ladies. Just in passing, just in case you're visiting and you're wondering why there are two men preaching this morning, it is not because we do not believe that women can teach other women. That's not the reason. There just were no volunteers to come. But no, in all seriousness, we do believe there's a place Titus 2 makes it clear that there's a place for older women to teach younger women in the things of God. And so, I want to encourage you afresh that you would leave here with a renewed determination to grow in your understanding of the gospel, no matter how mature you may be in your faith. Eternity will be spent getting to know more about God. And therefore, you may have been converted for 60 years, but there are still things you can grow in your understanding of the gospel. I was saying to Cheritha, you know, I was thinking about the ladies in my life. And she kind of smirked, well, what do you mean about the ladies in your life? Well, I was considering the ladies in my life and my own personal desire that all the ladies in my life are growing doctrinally. I'm thankful for a wife that is doctrinally mature and maturing. As a father, that's a tremendous blessing. That when the children come to their mother and ask a question, that they are going to get a sound answer. They're not going to be taught some heresy that is far removed from the Word of God. That's a tremendous blessing. I certainly, as a husband, have that desire, and I'm glad and thankful for it. Certainly as a father, it's also my desire that my daughters will grow in doctrinal maturity. I want them to be godly leaders of other women in the church. I want them to be a good support if God would have them marry. I want them to be godly mothers who could teach these things to their children. There's a tremendous need for young ladies to grow doctrinally. And it will not happen. Prince Charming may come over the hill riding his horse, carrying Calvin's Institutes, and at that point you will think to yourself, it's about time I learned some doctrine. No, you must start now. You must determine in your soul to grow doctrinally as you come to know the Lord more and more. But of course, I have other ladies in my life. I'm a pastor. And the ladies in my life, part of this congregation, it is my desire that they would grow maturely in their Christian doctrine. Our brother mentioned Priscilla, who along with her husband instructed Apollos in the things of God more correctly. I had that in my experience as a 18-year-old. I came and lived in Michigan for a time, and I lived with a family. And the lady there, she knew her doctrine. As I was studying and developing, oftentimes we spent time over the dinner table, and she is a godly woman, very much helped me in my understanding of things of God. And I praise God for her, and for instance in my life. These are important things. Doctrinal maturity is for every believer. Now, I must again at this point just insert another word of qualification. Doctrine, of course, must be experienced, not only learnt. This is not, the Christian faith is not like going to high school and passing your high school diploma by getting a sufficiently good score in an examination. Christian doctrine must always move from the head to the heart. But it will not hit the heart until it gets to the head. You will not properly feel until you're properly taught. There is a need to know the truth before you then feel the truth. But I do not want you to leave here with a determination to learn more, but not with a determination to feel more. I want you to have that scriptural, emotional Christian life that is in love for Christ fervently, but that will only come from a proper understanding of the gospel. You see, to know Christ or to know God, we must more fully know about Christ and know about God. And so what I want to do, I'm conscious lunch has passed. It is that time of the day, your bellies are full, I trust, and it's perhaps more difficult to apply yourself to listening to a message. So I have simply four adverbs. How do you grow maturely in Christian doctrine? Well, I have just four adverbs. Four words that describe how you grow in doctrinal maturity. And the first one, you must do so prayerfully. You must grow prayerfully. Look at verse 20 of this epistle in Jude. What does he say? But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, before we go any further, we should understand what this verse means. And the word building is a construction term. describes the idea of adding brick upon brick to a building that is then an edifice, a building up. But that building has a foundation. Your building, and the foundation is described as your most holy faith. Now, I've said already that faith in the Bible can refer to two separate issues. It may refer to your subjective trust in Christ, but in this case it refers to the truth of the gospel. You could insert truth for faith there, your most holy faith. Now, that should immediately encourage you. Can you think if you were to build yourself up on your personal faith? How strong is your faith? Is it worth building on? Oh, it's a gift of God, but we are like the man, Lord, I believe. Help by my unbelief. We live with the instability of our faith. But this is a sure foundation because it is a faith concerning Christ and the gospel. But we see that Jude emphasizes to his readers that they are personally responsible to build themselves up on their faith. This does not happen for you. The words are very directive. You personally must take responsibility. You must build yourselves up on your most holy faith. You must get your hands dirty, as it were. You must lift the bricks and the mortar and build up the building. But you must do so upon the faith that is the gospel. But I say this can only be done prayerfully. And you will see, he says, they're praying in the Holy Ghost. We will not succeed in any Christian endeavor but by the grace of God. Personal responsibility in the Bible is always governed by a sense of divine dependence. We understand, and if you're to leave here this afternoon and say to yourself, well, I understand, I may have been saved 30 years, but I still have so much maturing to do, I'm going to try better. Well, fine, but make sure you try better upon your knees, that you understand that the only way that you will grow doctrinally is by the work of the Spirit in your life. And so the psalmist in the Old Testament, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And understanding that if we're to have our eyes opened, it's not because we wake up in the morning and open our eyes and turn to the Bible. There's a spiritual need for God to open our eyes so that we will see what we ought to see in the Word. When you think of Paul's language in 1 Corinthians, you turn back there please quickly, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we have the very simple teaching of Paul regarding the blindness of our natural minds. Verse 14 says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. There is the need for the Spirit of God to teach us the truth. As we study the Word of God, Paul says back in verse number 10, God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. The previous verse, referring to eye not seeing nor ear hearing, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. The gospel preparation of God. We naturally do not see them, we don't receive them into our hearts, but God reveals them unto us by His Spirit. So first of all, if you're going to grow doctrinally, you must do so prayerfully. In the second place, you must do so patiently. Patiently. This term, building up yourselves, this finds itself in the category of what we call our sanctification. There are things in the Word of God that happen once and for all. When you come to Christ, you are once and for all forgiven. You're justified. You're adopted into the family of God. That is not a repeated event. That happens once when you're joined with Christ. But here, you're reading a term that denotes progress. It denotes a development, building up yourselves. It's a term of sanctification. And sanctification is always a progressive thing. It is something we do bit by bit. If you like, in this picture, brick by brick. And there's something to understand. you must realize that you will not be what you want to be in a day. It's like when you begin to do some physical exercise. I realize I'm going in dangerous territory here, but anyway, when you begin to do some physical exercise, you may think to yourself, well, I'm determined, I'm going to run that 10K in the local park, and I'm going to do so next week. And so you start on the first day, you run 10K, so I can never do this, and you go back to bed. You understand there's a need for development and progress, and so there is in our spiritual understanding. You've got to be patient. You've got to realize that you take small steps, and bit by bit you grow and you develop in your understanding of these things. Peter often in his letters talks of reminders. One of the frustrating things you have as a preacher is that nobody remembers what you say. They leave. They come back next Lord's Day and they can't even tell you the text. Preachers, we also forget our texts. There's a sense in which we all understand that due to the nature of the fall, our minds are not what we'd like them to be. And there is a need for continual building and building up upon things, line upon line, precept upon precept, and reminder upon reminder. It's a progressive thing. So therefore, be patient and do not come to Tuesday, throw the new book in the corner and say, I give up, I can't run 10K. Don't do that. Listen to what I'm saying right now. You must be patient as you try to grow doctrinally. But also, because this is a matter of sanctification, you must also understand that one believer's growth will vary from another. Boys, they can run 10K in 40 minutes. That's incredible. I can't run in 4 hours. And you begin to compare people within the church. Oh, I could never know as much as she knows. And sometimes that can be a jealous spirit. It can be a sense of, who do they think they are quoting Calvin's Institutes to me today? And there can be that spirit within the church. And the reason I say it is because that's true for men. And I suspect it might also be true for women. You see, there's an understanding that we should not be intimidated by others. We've got our own walk with God. Our brother said that very clearly. You've got to walk with God individually, privately. And therefore, you must accept the fact that you are accountable for how you are building up yourself. And that's what the text is saying. So, prayerfully, patiently, thirdly, purposefully. Like all Christian growth, like running a 10K, it doesn't happen without exertion and exercise. Practically, how do we learn? Well, God has made us to learn by listening, by reading, by making notes, by asking questions, by talking. I have just four things I want to leave with you in terms of being purposeful. Now, these are just generous. We could do an entire conference on each of these separate topics. First of all, I want to encourage you to sit under doctrinal preaching. You can turn back to Ephesians chapter 4. Our brother turned us to Ephesians 4, referring to the stability that we enjoy in our Christian life. We are not to be like children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. That whole section is about doctrinal maturity. It's about growing in our understanding and our experience of the faith. But you will see in the verse number 11 that the risen and ascended and reigning Christ gives gifts to his church so that men and women can grow in doctrinal maturity and stability. If you have any doubt that Ephesians is referring to both men and women, don't forget, husbands are to love their wives. There's sections in the portion that refer to the duties of husbands and wives in submitting to their husbands. This is a book written to the entire church. And to that entire church, the risen and ascended Christ has given the gifts, verse 11, of pastors, teachers. They're given. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, those temporary New Testament offices, followed by the permanent office of pastor, teacher, for the development of Christian maturity, Christian unity, Christian stability. So therefore, if Jude is to write later on about the believers' need to build up themselves, then surely Jude is also going to keep in mind the importance of the ladies in the church sitting under doctrinal preaching. This is a matter of personal responsibility. Now, I must recognize that in this land and in this area, there are various types of Bible teaching. This is not an advertisement for this ministry or for this church. Please understand that. But it is a word of admonition to your younger ladies and to all of you that you must seek out and desire doctrinal Bible teaching. That is vital if you're to obey the command of God to build yourself up in the faith. I would urge you and plead with you, do not find yourself in a church where the Bible is never opened. Do not allow yourself to stay in a church where the minister may read a verse and then close the Bible, put it down, and begin to talk to you. That is a terribly bad sign. There is a necessity of all of God's people sitting under a regular expositional ministry of the Word of God. Why? Because Christ has given the gifts to the church for that purpose. It's not because we're on a power trip. It's not because we like telling them what to do. But rather, Christ has given to His church the gifts for Bible teaching for the benefit of the church. For your spiritual benefit. Stories may well shed light upon a text. But a sermon should not be one story after another. They're called skyscraper sermons. One story after another. They're dangerous. They're destructive. They allow men to give their own opinion, and they do not ground the people in the Word of God. So need for the Bible to be open. You say, well, it's so difficult to sit and listen to Bible exposition. Oh, may God soften your heart to such. That you realize the benefit of your minister is seeking to divide the text and teach you the grammar and the words that are used sitting under doctrinal preaching. Such requires preparation, yes. There's a need for good sleep. There's a need for that. There's a need to come with a prayerful spirit to be under the Word of God and receive the Word of God properly. I'm also very conscious about the challenge of sitting under doctrinal preaching when you've somebody sitting on your knee. It's not easy. I'm embarrassed to say that I quickly ran into Bible college whenever we had our second child and then into our third. And Cherith has had the brunt to bear of bringing up children in the pews. I get to stand here and preach, and I see the children after church. It's very challenging. I want to encourage you, if your husbands are not prepared to share the load, tell them to come and talk to me. I'm not joking. You have as much need to grow doctrinally as he does. And it's not the case, well, that heavy preaching stuff for the men. They're the ones who can go away and sit in the walnut room and discuss doctrine while we clean up the dishes. Such is not godly. There is the need for the women in the church to grow in their understanding of the faith. And therefore, there is a need for cooperation and sharing. If it may well be that as a woman you have a particular need to be with your child for a time, well then you must pester your husband that he tells you what was said. Make sure he's been listening. And that he can then pass on that information to you so that there's a help in that. Listen, we could go around the corner in terms of all the practical ramifications of that. If you happen to find yourself in a church crash facility, with a TV screen like we have or some other means, try your best to encourage your children to sit quietly. I know kids. It's not always possible. There is no noise restriction in a creche. But if you can encourage them to sit quietly so that your fellow sisters can listen on, then all the best. That's good. A loving your neighbour. Do all you can. If I would get very distressed if someone comes to me and, well, she won't keep her child quiet. You need to deal with her. No, we've got to be cooperative here. We've got to love each other in the Lord. But still there's a need to think through these things. How can we practically help each other listen to sound doctrinal expositional preaching? What about the second thing? Well, we must study the Bible asking doctrinal questions in the second place. So sit under doctrinal preaching and study the Bible asking doctrinal questions. This is very simple. What does the Bible teach regarding God, regarding Christ, regarding sin, regarding salvation? A verse you can read. And yes, you may look at the verse and say, well, I want a word to encourage my heart. And that's really, really important. But you must also understand the need that your heart will be properly encouraged when you find out about God and truth in the verse you're reading. And so read the verse, read the passage, and simply say, what does this teach about God? What does it teach about Christ? What does it teach about sin and salvation? There were some great verses read and referred to in the test of my time this morning, a real blessing to my own soul. Now you take the verse, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, that was read. That will be grounded in your heart when you properly understand God's covenantal faithfulness. You get that doctrine in your mind, that verse will even expand even more. But because you're attached to Christ covenantally, God will never, ever forsake you, because it's impossible for God to lie and deny his covenant. You take the truth that nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. You can underline it, you can put it up on your wall. But you read that text in context, it's grounded upon the doctrine of election, justification, atonement, intercession. All of those doctrines are undergirding the truth that Christ, his love, will never be divorced from you. And so you see the need to ask doctrinal questions in your study. In the third place, I want to encourage you quickly to stand upon the shoulders of others. Our brother rightly mentioned that books are not the book, but there are many helpful books about the book that can help us understand the book. We can grow in our knowledge of the Bible by rightly using good books on Christian doctrine. I brought a wee box with me. It's from Amazon, I think it was. Just to give you a sample and an idea of shoulders of men that may help you. I looked around my shelf and I boom, 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 boom. That's all I did. I spent 3 minutes. Okay, I have a copy of Matthew Henry's commentary here. Why? Because it's a doctrinal commentary that is tremendously practical. Now, this is one of a number of volumes. You can get a one-volume summary of it. But it's a helpful way. You come to a verse and you think, well, I wonder what that means. Don't sit there and panic. Then, well, I must go and have a look. And you can get this free online. Not this book, but you can get the PDF free online. You've got to pay for the book. All right. I have a couple other sections. You have, this is an old edition of a book by a Puritan called Body of Divinity. It's a summary of Christian doctrine. What I'm suggesting to you as well is divide up into short sections. You say, I don't have an hour to spend. But you may well have 5 minutes. Or can I even suggest something more bold? Why don't you try in your personal schedule twice a week to set apart 30 minutes? Just 30 minutes. Make yourself a cup of coffee or sweet tea, whatever you like to drink, and sit down in a comfortable chair and select a book, and you'll read that book twice a week. For 30 minutes. And you put it in your diary. And if you can do anything else, you make sure that's protected time. Now, this is not instead of your Bible reading. This is supplementary because you have come to this conference to be told about the need to build yourself up on your most holy faith, to grow doctrinally. And so there are books like this one, or there's various works on the Short Catechism. Again, this is a nice book by Alexander White. Again, it's broken up into short sections. You can read for 20 minutes and read an entire exposition of one of the questions of the Catechism and grow in your understanding of the Word of God. There is, again, this is an old edition of A Summary of Christian Doctrine by Burghoff. Again, very, very simply read. Short sections, Bible proofs all the way through it. This one here is very helpful. This is by John Calvin. You say, well, I would never read John Calvin. Look how short that is. It's tiny. Truth for All Times. Again, a summary of the Christian life. But again, it's beautifully produced by Banner of Truth, and it is in very short sections. So again, you can read just a few pages. They've broken up the text helpfully, paragraphed it, so that we don't need to get bogged down in pages and pages of reading. You have one of my favorites, Redemption Accomplished and Applied, if you want to go something a bit more deep. John Murray, tremendous, simple, profound, concise presentation of the work of redemption, Christ accomplishing it and applied by the Spirit of God. These are very, very simple books. Let me show you one type. I brought more, but I'll stop there. This is a little section of books. You see the same color. There'll be a white top and a color of a bottom. They are, by Banner of Truth again, they're called the Puritan Paperback Series. We have about 20-something of them in the back shelf on the right-hand side of the church here. Those are free to take. Encourage you, go out that door. Have a look. If you happen to be in our church, bring it back when you finish it. Okay, so bring and buy sort of book place up there. One of the men in the church very kindly donated a number of books to us. And you'll see lots of these. Different subjects. But again, what Banner did, they took all the text and they put it in paragraphs. So you don't need to even, you don't get lost in the whole thing. Very, very helpful way. That's just a little box. Just some ideas of how you can grow. You know, the library in the church office or in the back or in perhaps your husband's or your father's house, it does not say anywhere men only. Certainly mine doesn't. And there's a real benefit in just taking some time and setting aside time to grow in these things. So, where did I get? Right, leave that down there. We have sitting under doctrinal preaching. We have the need to study the Bible asking doctrinal questions. We have the need to stand upon the doctrinal knowledge of others. And lastly, we should share our doctrine with others. I've gone from the Puritans to a little diagram from a secular educationalist. It's not quite the sublime to ridiculous, but it's not far off it. It's a pyramid. And it describes the way that people learn and how they retain what they learn. Now, this is not the law of the Medes and the Persians, but I do believe it illustrates something regarding the nature of how we do actually learn and retain anything. Why do you think your minister knows what they know? Because they tell others about it. You retain a small amount of what you listen to or read. Small amount, maybe less than 10%. You retain about half of what you've learned when you tell someone else what you've learned. So, why don't you give it a try? You spend your 30 minutes twice a week. You make some notes on what you read. And then you call up your friend and say, "You'll never believe what I learned about Christ's atonement this past week." And your friend may well think you have completely lost your marbles. That reflects more on your friend than does on you. But it's not familiar. We're not used to this sort of thing. And it's tragic. We're used to all manner of other conversations, but we're not used to comfortably discussing what God is teaching us in His Word. And yet, in the Bible, we walk together. There's Christian fellowship. There is the great benefit in simply talking over the things that we learn. So, give it a try. It might surprise you. It certainly surprised me. I learned an awful lot more after being a pastor than before. Because what I learn one week, I get to share with other people the week after. And I often say, I'm only one week ahead of the congregation. And you get to grow as you teach others and talk to others with what God is teaching you. Well, lastly, we've done this prayerfully, patiently, purposefully, and lastly, positively. Hopefully. Don't despair. Don't get discouraged. Don't say, I can't do this. Don't say, I'm not educated. Does God ever give us a command that He will not give us the ability to obey? Will God frustrate us? Will He, through His apostle, tell us to build ourselves up and then say, no, you're not going to do that? No, if this is God's will for our lives, then we have the certain confidence of the help of God, the Spirit of God, to enable us to obey what the Word of God says. And therefore you can get into this with a great positive mindset that you can ensure that by God's grace you will indeed grow in your understanding. If it's in God's Word, it is God's will for your good. And so it is Pastor Hamilton's desire and my desire that you would all come to know more about the gospel and more about Christ and more about your God, so that you would know Christ more. We read the Gospels, we find Christ coming in a person. We read the Gospel accounts and we see Him with His feet walking to bring the Gospel to the poor. We see Him with His hands touching the blind. We see His compassionate Spirit. We hear Him with His words causing the dead to rise. We see Christ in the Word. But then we move into the epistles and we have it explained for us. Oftentimes, we want to have our hearts in the place where the woman was pouring her tears upon the Savior, wiping them with her hair. We want that heart affection for Christ. That is our burden. We want to see Christ in our spiritual experience and pour out tears of love for Him. We want to get there. But Christ says, He who is forgiven much loves much. Now that is not describing the depth of the woman's sin. It is her understanding of her depravity and her understanding of what forgiveness meant. A doctrinal awareness of forgiveness then promotes our love for Christ. That our sins are cast away, wiped away, washed away, thrown away, never to remember no more. When we understand that doctrinally, then we come to love Christ and our tears fall. And so what we are seeing here is the vital importance that if we are to feel properly, we must indeed know truth properly. And so may God help us to see Christ for who He is, and to know Him as He is, and then to grow in our love and service for our King. Amen. May God indeed bless His word to all your hearts.